Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
I come to work with two hands every day and I'm trying to bless somebody.
We better be in Florida, it better be sunny, and there better be some sort of fruity drink involved.
With Matt Harmon.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
You can get on a podcast, you can get online, you can argue with the clouds, you can argue with the Russian bots, don't care.
Good morning, it's Friday, October 7th. Welcome to the podcast, sponsored by Novartis Pharmaceuticals Corporation, the makers of Leqvio and Clizarin. Our good buddy Frank Schwab is back, and today he's going to help us preview all of the Week 5 games coming up this weekend. Frank, buddy, how you doing? I feel like last time we talked, I actually don't even remember last time you're on the podcast because, you know, my brain is mush at this point, running into Week 5, but you had to at some point be feeling pretty panicked about all of your Cowboys enthusiasm coming into this year. But now, Frank, you gotta be feeling pretty damn good about those Dallas Cowboys.
Looking pretty good, Matt. Here's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how I was high in the Eagles, love the Eagles, how I was higher than everybody else in the Cowboys. What we're not going to talk about is how I like the Colts, how I was higher on the Patriots than everybody else, how I thought Jonathan Taylor would win another rushing touchdown. We're not going to talk about any of that. We'll just stick with my Eagles and Cowboys takes, I guess.
That's why we're having you on the Friday after Thursday Night Football. We have no idea what happened between the Colts and the Broncos at this point, but either way, Frank's off the hook. Doesn't have to talk about them. You brought them up. I mean, hey, pal, we weren't even going to talk about the Colts. So Frank's totally off the hook. Just a quick programming note. I mentioned this on the last podcast. We're trying something new, a little extension of the show on Fridays. If you're listening to this before 3 p.m. Eastern on Friday, that is the time when Scott Pienowski and myself will be doing a live fantasy conversation with all of you people out there on Twitter at Yahoo Fantasy and the Yahoo Sports YouTube page. So check it out. We'll go over all the injury notes that we didn't know here on Thursday morning as we're taping this. Unless you already missed it, well then, I mean, I guess you can go back and watch it. But we'll also be taking your live Q&A stuff as well. It's going to be great. It's going to be fun. Make sure to check it out. Okay, on to the show. Frank, we'll start, as we always do, with these preview shows. I'll do my one thing that people need to know. You will do your one thing, and then we'll end up just talking about the games as a whole, because that's how the show goes. All right, first game, Seahawks at Saints. Saints are 5.5-point favorites. Feels pretty disrespectful to the fighting Geno Smiths. over under 46 points here. Frank, what do the people need to know about this game?
Geno, right? Like, that's been the buzz all week. And I get it. Everybody's firing off their takes now in case Geno turns into a pumpkin. You got to do that. I've done it before. But Geno seems, I don't know if he's quote unquote legit. I don't think he's going to be NFC Player of the Week too often going forward. But it seems like he can keep this offense going. He can get the ball to Tyler Lockett. He can get the ball to DK Metcalf. I mean, I remember talking to you and others offseason, like, well, he can't draft DK. He definitely can't draft Tyler Lockett. I got him for almost free in a couple of leagues. Should have got him in more because Geno's competent. Geno can keep this offense going. And I get that the whole 555 yards was playing Lions defense, and the Lions aren't going to stop anybody this year. But are the Seahawks okay on offense? Like, are they okay, period? This line does seem, I'll say this, this line does seem disrespectful. I'm on the Seahawks because the Saints haven't proven anything. And man, Geno is... Is Geno legit? Are we talking about Geno in 3 years still being the Seahawks quarterback? Or is this like a, oh, remember those few weeks when Geno was okay? Yeah, that was funny. Har, har, har. I can't figure it out right now.
It's a great question, Frank, because I doubt that he'll be the starter in like 3 years. But if he keeps playing this way, like he's going to, they're going to mess around and like be too good to draft one of the quarterbacks
right,
this year, right? Like, So that's going to be part of it. And Pete Carroll's fine with that. I don't think Pete Carroll gives a damn if they have some great quarterback prospect, right? As long as they're winning games. And the numbers are crazy on Geno. We talked about it with Dalton on the last podcast. Like, he is, from a completion percentage over expectation and EPA per play perspective, the best quarterback in the NFL from an efficiency standpoint. It's insane. But I think it does go to show there's a lot of talent in Seattle, right? Like, this is kind of what I was harping on with Russ going to Denver. And it's like, look at all of these players that Russ is going to play with in Denver. It's like, look at all the guys he's leaving behind in Seattle. Like, DK is better than Cortland Sutton. Tyler Lockett is better, I would say, better than Cortland Sutton and definitely better than Jerry Jeudy. And, absolutely, you know, like, the tight end situation's a wash, right? And again, I hate talking about the Broncos because he played last night. You guys already know what happened. Who knows? But and the running game in Seattle, that's kind of what I wanted to talk about, is good. You have to have the Lions caveat to this. But, Frank, like, what's our confidence level in an encore for Rashad Penny? Because Rashad Penny is good, right? Like, Rashad Penny's a good runner. But there's just always health concerns. I know he had a couple of cool quotes this week about how he felt like he was letting the fans down by not being able to stay healthy. And like, you could tell he just really obviously cares about this stuff. And Ken Walker, like, we'll see what happens with him at some point. But like, when Penny's hot, it's like they have a great running game in Seattle too. What's our confidence level in like an encore performance for him?
It's honestly pretty high. I mean, when a guy performs at the level he performed at late last year, it's not a fluke. It's hard to do that in the NFL. It's just, You don't do that if you stink. And yeah, he was obviously had the draft pedigree and all that kind of stuff. And I think what threw us off, Matt, was Kenny Walker getting drafted where he did.
Yes.
Let's say Ken Walker never gets drafted in the second round by the Seahawks. They take a lineman or whatever they do. We're all coming into this season saying, look at what Rashad Penny did last year. Look at the draft capital. He just hasn't stayed healthy. Let's take a chance on him if he stays healthy. But since Kenneth Walker gummed up the whole situation there, we're like, Rashad Penny's not that good. Let me draft the shiny new toy Kenneth Walker before him or right around him. And we all kind of slept on how good Rashad Penny was late last year. I think he's going to do this until he gets hurt. And if he stays healthy all year, I think he can maintain a level. Look, again, the Lions caveat. He played against the Lions. It's not going to be that easy every week. But can he be a very good, viable starting running back, keep Kenneth Walker mostly on the bench all year? I think he can, as long as he's healthy.
Yeah, and the Saints obviously have historically had a really good run defense. They rank ninth right now in rushing success rate allowed. So definitely a more difficult matchup. But, you know, you brought up drafting an offensive lineman. They did draft two offensive linemen this year, right? And like, that's been a huge hit for Seattle. Yeah. I think that's something that needs to be discussed in this. You know, I did a little combined offensive line metric just on the Statner podcast with Dalton, just combining like some, you know, line yards from Football Outsiders, pressure rate allowed, sack rate allowed, stuff like that on the last podcast. And, you know, Seattle doesn't come out great in that, but they rank like 19th in adjusted line yards, 12 in sack rate allowed, 19th in pressure rate allowed. That's not, again, it's not crazy good, but they're not like Washington or the Rams or the Bengals, you know, these teams that are just getting boat raced on the offensive line. So the ecosystem is really, really good in Seattle. I think we can continue to trust Lockett. Where would you rank like DK Metcalf for the rest of the season among wide receivers?
I mean, top 15, probably. Yeah. I don't know if I can get him quite to wide receiver one, but talent, a lot of times you just close your eyes and bet on talent. And that's what I should have been doing more often with DK. Yep. He's a beast. And Geno's been competent enough to get him the ball. I think he's, again, I don't know if he's necessarily, I haven't sat down to re-rank them all, but it's hard for me to believe he'd be a surefire wide receiver one, but he's right on the fringe. If you draft a DK Metcalf, he's beating that ADP all day, every day, and you feel really good about it.
yeah, both Seattle receivers you're feeling great about.
Lockett was, God, we got into draft season late, and I'm like, why am I not drafting Tyler Lockett? He's like 10th round. Like, the guys are going around him stink. Like, maybe I should take a shot. And I never did. I never got on board until, like, again, just a couple shares. Yeah. That's it.
I did take a good bit of Tyler Lockett because it was exactly what you said. Like, you get on the draft board and you're looking at the names around him. It's like, come on, man. Like, you see going around, just total goofballs, like Devontae Parker type of names, right? Like, just guys that are just never going to, like, from a talent perspective, not even going to come close. I have Metcalf, right around, like, wide receiver 16. You know, I'd still take guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown, CeeDee Lamb, T. Higgins, Michael Pittman, Keenan Allen, when he gets healthy, I think he'll be really good. Jaylen Waddle, like, those type of names. But, I mean, Metcalf is right there, like a high upside wide receiver 2. That might be a little more volatile, again, just because Seattle's not going to run a ton of plays, and that's always going to, sort of mix in with the outlook here for this offense.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you there.
Anything on New Orleans? I mean, they're definitely a team that Scott and I will talk about tomorrow when we get some real injury news, but I would say we're probably not going to see Michael Thomas again. We're probably going to get Andy Dalton behind center again, it looks like, which we know at this point, though, is fine for Chris Olave, because that dude, I mean, oh my God, Chris Olave, so good.
He's good. They paid so much to go get him, and I was like, oh, Saints, what are you doing? But at least they got a dude. Like, he's really, really good. I'll tell you this story. I told it last week, tweeted it, whatever, that last week I bet Minnesota -2.5, felt good about it. And then all of a sudden it was like, well, Jameis probably isn't going to start. And I said, uh-oh, that's not good. I'd rather have Jameis start than Andy Dalton, as somebody who was on the Vikings. So that's my level of confidence in Jameis Winston right now, where I'm going to have the Seahawks in this game. I'd rather have Jameis start for the Saints. I think Andy's not great. Like, everybody, like, oh, Andy stinks. Yeah, I know he does. But he plays a certain way that is going to keep the Saints in the game. He can get the ball to Olave. He's not going to be pushing it downfield to Olave, but I think he can keep them in the game, keep the chains moving. We saw him almost, they almost took the Vikings overtime if Will lets his field goal doesn't double doink. So I think if it is Dalton, I think I'm perfectly fine with that. And I feel confident about pretty much everybody, especially Kamara, if he plays too, because Jameis just doesn't check it down to Kamara enough. It's just not part of his game. Whereas Andy's smart enough to say, hey, here's this super supreme athlete right there 2 yards away from me. I'm going to toss one off to him. He'll break 40 yards and I'll go on my stat sheet. So I think Dalton, honestly, as weird as it sounds, I think Dalton's better for this offense than Jameis is.
Yep. I think we're on the same page here. All right. Next game up here, we've got the Chargers, 2.5-point favorites at the Cleveland Browns, over under a 47.5. This game has a lot of interesting parts for fantasy. That's why it's high on the rundown, of course. My thing for this game is that the Browns have emerged as a very easy team to run on, which is good news for our buddy Austin Eckler and the LA Chargers, because they've really struggled to get their run game going. Cleveland ranks 27th in rushing success rate allowed. We saw the Falcons and Arthur Smith, they said, we're going to run the piss out of the ball. And they did run the piss out of the ball on the Cleveland Browns. The Chargers, like I said, their run game hasn't gotten going, but this is a really good spot to try to build on, as Austin said, the performance that they had against the Houston Texans last week. Good matchup here. It does look like Myles Garrett's going to come back for this game, which is good to see.
Yeah, and that's not a small thing. And also, we got to keep an eye on Jadeveon Clowney, because when you talk about run defense, I mean, his excellence in the run game really gets lost with his career. He's great. He's a great run defender. So not having him in there has been a huge difference for the Browns. We'll see. Check that injury report. I mean, obviously, you're playing Eckler either way, and he's not going to get game scripted out. I think this will be a close game one way or another. I can't foresee a scenario in which the Browns blow them out. And even if does happen, Eckler's catching nine balls, 10 balls, like he did against the Chiefs. So, yes, I think that the Browns' defense is not what we thought it would be. The offense isn't that great. It's just kind of this meh Browns team that's not easy to watch every week, but we'll see. I agree, though. Like, this is a great spot for it. We're going to learn a lot about the Chargers this week. Yes. I don't think we learned a lot last week. I mean, it was, okay, the Texans are the Texans, and they still tried to charger that game away, of course. Of course. But, I mean, the Chargers could go in and beat the Browns and look good on offense doing it. Maybe we'll say, okay, the Chargers kind of back on track, and even with all these injuries, maybe they're going to be somewhat of the team we thought they would be.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I'd like to see them go in and really take it to Cleveland. Cleveland just ends up playing in, for the most part, pretty close competitive games because, like you said, they still have Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. Although, you know, the Chargers run defense, not very good either. That's still a problem area for them. And they're going against Nick Chubb, right? So that could really be popping up as a weakness. What do you got on this game on the Browns offensive side?
You know, and I'm going to be selfish here because I think I have more David Njoku shares than like David Njoku's mom. Like, I mean, I love this guy through the draft season, was drafting him every single league I could. And through a couple of weeks, I'm just on tilt. I'm like, oh, I screwed up. David Njoku's no good. It turns out David Njoku's really good.
Yeah,
like they've gotten him back into the mix. But this week they go against, you know, the Chargers and Derwin James, who, I mean, it's not going to be a shadow thing. He's not going to be on him every single play, but he's going to see a lot of Derwin James, who is one of my favorite safeties in the league. I just love the guy. He's great. And when you look back at what the Chargers have done against tight ends, they've done pretty well. Like, yeah, Travis Kelce got his week two, but that's Travis Kelce. They've allowed pretty much nothing since then. And, I mean, okay, Jacksonville and Evan Engram and Houston and their band of characters at tight end aren't anything to worry about. But Derwin James is a guy who can take a tight end out of the game. So all these times I'm starting a joke. I started a joke with some flexes last week and felt pretty good about it. I don't know that I can this week, Matt. I don't know. Is David Njoku a matchup-proof guy now? Or is Derwin going to kind of just erase him? And then, you know, the Browns, like you said, they could just say, the Chargers can't stop us running the ball. We're going to give Nick Chubb 25 carries. We're going to give Kareem Hunt the rest of them, maybe 15 or 20. We don't care about passing the ball because the Chargers can't stop us in a run game.
I think David Njoku gets his. Certainly, I think they'll run the ball and they'll be really good at it in this matchup. This could be one of those games that is over like really fast. You know, it's like a 2.5 hour game, right?
Right.
In real time.
Really good.
A lot of rushing potential here, but I think David Njoku gets his. And you know, Amari Cooper, man. Like just when everybody's like, oh yeah, he's steady and just one catch game against Falcons. Like that's gonna happen. I feel better about. I mean, Amari Cooper's ceiling from a weekly perspective is obviously higher than David Njoku, but I feel better about the steadiness of Njoku in this offense than I do the steadiness of Cooper in this offense, if that makes sense. So
let me ask you a question I have, Matt.
Okay.
Would you start David Njoku this week or Kyle Pitts? Everybody's favorite.
Oh, dude, I don't know that Kyle Pitts is even going to play this week, right? Like you might have that decision made for you. Here, I'll put it to you this way, Frank. My sister has Kyle Pitts on her fantasy team, unfortunately, and sent me the screenshot of the waiver wire and was like, can I pick up any of these guys and start them over Kyle Pitts? And David Njoku was at the top of the list. And I was like, oh,
Zerk Seibert out there. Yeah.
I'm like, right. Dude, that is like, make that ad right now. Like 100% I'd play David Njoku this week over Kyle Pitts. Although, again, hamstring injury didn't practice.
Yeah, he might not even be a factor. But I looked at that when, you know, I mean, early in the week when it was like, okay, I'm like, wow, am I really going to start David Njoku over my third round pick? Like, ugh.
Yeah.
God, Kyle Pitts. That's a different team we'll talk about.
Yeah, we'll talk about that one here in a minute. Let's move to your Eagles, Frank. -5
yes.
At the Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals stink. Over under here in this game is 49. What do you got in this one, Frank?
You know, I thought that it was really interesting that 2 weeks ago, Kyler came out. They asked him about running the ball. He had not been running the ball very much. His first three games, 5-5-2 for attempts. Just wasn't part of his game. And he basically said, he threw Cliff Kingsbury under the bus in a very subtle way. He basically said, look, I just do what I'm told to do. Whatever. And so it was clear from his implication that he's been told, don't run. When the Cardinals' record, when he runs at least 10 times, is really, really good. I don't have it in front of me. I've tweeted it out. And when he doesn't rush for 4 or more times, it's really, really bad. And this is not one of those, hey, you know, running backs who get 25 attempts. It's not one of those. This is really, to me, is a cause and effect. The Cardinals are better when Kyler Murray runs the ball. Last week, he ran 12 times. It wasn't for a ton of yards, only 26, but he did have the touchdown. And the Cardinals' offense is just better when he runs. And I think Arizona has figured out, look, yeah, he might get banged up, but we're going to lose a lot of games trying to save Kyler Murray for late in the year. We just got to play. We just got to have him play the way he plays. I think he's going to be up in that, you know, 10 rushing attempts range the rest of the year, really. I think that's good for Arizona. And I'll say this. I love obviously, I picked the Eagles to make the Super Bowl. I got the receipts on that. I love the Eagles coming into the year. They've looked great, obviously. The Cardinals have not. Why do I have this weird feeling Cardinals are going to win this game? Why do I have this spidey sense that this is the NFL game where we're all on Sunday nights? Like, how the heck did that happen? So
yeah.
I think Kyler, now that he's running again, is back to being that dude who, if you drafted him, all of a sudden you feel a lot better about him going forward because he's going to add that running game to his game because the Arizona Cardinals are like, we got to do this.
I think if you feel that way, Frank, and I totally understand what you're saying, that it could be that game, it does have to kind of be like a Spidey sense type of thing.
It does. It has 100%.
Like maybe it has to be a big Kyler Murray running game and a big James Conner running game. We haven't seen Conner have like a big, big fantasy day just yet, but it would have to be this one. And from like a, you know, we talk about these funnel defenses, right? Like the Eagles are a great pass defense so far. They rank third in passing success, dropback success rate allowed. Meanwhile, they rank 26th in against the run. So it would have to be probably, I think that's probably the matchup that Arizona would have to exploit. Now, do you trust Cliff Kingsbury to exploit a matchup? I know I certainly don't.
I get it.
The Eagles, from a fantasy perspective, do seem like just really straightforward. Miles Sanders, another guy that, hey, you know, he told us not to draft him. Bad analysis, Miles, on yourself. Like, he was one of the best running back draft picks you could probably make. Yeah, he's been great easily. So far. Jalen Hurts, Devonta Smith, Dallas Goedert, AJ Brown. Yes, every single week for the most part, you won't break ties.
Yeah,
my favorite starting these guys, especially against the Cardinals secondary that's been terrible this year. They even let DJ
Moore against Baker Mayfield.
Well, I was gonna say they let DJ Moore get 50 yards though, bro. Like that's a ceiling game at this point.
That's like Flipper Anderson in 1989. Like, I mean, yeah, 50 Seriously. Yards for DJ. Wow. So what do you got on this game,
Matt? Yeah, my thing on this game is the Cardinals wide receiver usage, because we saw Rondale Moore come back for the first game this year, and kind of surprisingly he went right back to a full-time role. All those like people sending in Greg Dortch questions on Fantasy Football Live, it's like, come on, man. We ran a route on 94.3% of the team dropbacks in week four. That was the same as Marquise Brown, and rather surprisingly, he only lined up in the slot on 28.8% of his plays in week four, and had about 11 air yards per target, which if you remember Rondale Moore last year, that was like 11 air yards per target. He was lucky to see like 11 air yards in a game, you know? So,
right.
I think he
A dot was microscopic. Yeah.
He was not even playing a real wide receiver last year. So, and Marquise Brown's kind of emerged as an every week guy that you can count on. And I want to continue to see how these guys are used. Obviously when DeAndre Hopkins gets back, I'm really curious like where these guys will all line up, right. But no, that usage for Rondale Moore, I'm probably not going to like try and roll out and play him in this matchup, but he's a guy that I do want on my bench and it's a player I want to monitor that usage.
Yeah, the usage is really fascinating. It's going to be really fascinating when DeAndre Hopkins comes back. The main question I really have about the Cardinals is, where does Zach Ertz fit in all this when DeAndre comes back? I think until then he's in this tight end landscape where, my goodness, George Kittle and Darren Waller and Kyle Pitts aren't even startable right now. Zach Ertz is a guy who you can feel pretty good about right now, but I just wonder how that's going to happen, what's going to happen when DeAndre Hopkins comes back. But that's a story for another day. Yes, but I agree with you on the Cardinals receivers because it's a tough matchup for them. I mean, the Eagles got some real dudes in the secondary. So, yeah, I agree with you on all those points.
God, Eagles are so good, man. All right, let's move on to another NFC East team, Frank's other favorite team, the Dallas Cowboys at the Los Angeles Rams. Rams are 5.5-point favorites.
What?
I don't know about that.
Explain. Oh, yeah. Let's just put it this way. The Cowboys win on Sunday. Steak on me. Let's put it that way. Yeah. Maybe a car payment on me.
Let's go.
I
just bought a new truck, so I might hit you up on that.
I'll have it. Because the Cowboys, I am all in on this Cowboys game right here because the Rams are just broken. The 49ers defense is awesome. We're going to talk about them in a little bit. We all know that. And we kind of look back on some of the games the teams played and we're like, yeah, maybe Geno didn't play well week two because the 49ers are that good on defense. Yes. I get all that. But when you watch this Rams team, they're getting nothing going downfield. They're getting nothing to anybody but Cooper Kupp. I mean, it's just, and Cooper Kupp is awesome. Like, he is one of the best players in football, obviously. But they have no other counterpunch. And teams like the 49ers knew Cooper Kupp's going to get his, but he's not going to kill us. And he had, 11 for 95 by the end? They'll live with that all day because nobody else did anything. This whole, like, we're going to run screens for Tyler Higbee. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I was going to say, don't forget about their worthless Tyler Higbee targets that they get every single week.
Oh, it's so bad. And your boy, I liked him too. I'm not trying to throw you under the bus. Allen Robinson is a ghost. He's washed, right? Like, is that it? Like, is that, we have to, I think that is the entire question about this Rams team and fantasy too. people were drafting Allen Robinson high. I couldn't get him, like, thankfully, because I wanted him, but everybody was drafting him ahead of me. I'm like, I missed Allen Robinson. He's going to have this great year. No, he's not. And you look back on that Bears year last year, and you're like, wow, that's kind of where Allen Robinson is right now. I mean, based on the first, because they desperately need him. I think there's three things working against Rams right now, like, real quick. Allen Robinson's nothing. Like, he's just not there. And they have nobody else. Van Jefferson's not in the lineup. They just have nothing else other than Kupp. Two is the offensive line is bad. It's just not playing well right now. And I'll give you the 49ers caveat. 49ers great on defense. And third, is Stafford's elbow hurting? Like, know, is that it? Like, we have to go back to that preseason story. And I thought he throws some balls with zip and velocity, but there's nothing going downfield at all in this Rams offense. And you know that's not how they want to play. So I think the whole story of this game is the Cowboys defense is great. The Rams offense is getting nothing going at all. I love the Cowboys to win in this game straight up. And a lot of it is because of just Allen Robinson and the absolute lack of weapons outside of Cooper Kupp.
So a couple things here. And, you know, I said on the podcast yesterday with Dalton that I'm like the captain in the Titanic movie, like just going down with the ship with Allen Robinson.
the band is playing, huh?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I will go down with the ship, cause I was on the ship, you know, at the beginning of his career, and it was a huge reception hit. So I got to go down with the ship as well here. But your point about Cooper Kupp is great, cause his fantasy numbers are awesome, but he finishes the game. Frank, you actually undersold him. 19 targets, 14 catches for 122 yards. And then
Tyler Higbee. I think he got a few on the last drive, yeah.
Yes, well, of course. Like, and then the great Tyler Higbee, 14 targets, 10 catches, 73 yards. That sucks, right? Like,
it's so bad. It's bad.
It's great for fantasy, right? Like, it ends up in your bottom line.
Yeah, PPR is, yeah, fine.
But the team sucks. And I mean, Matthew Stafford has, I'm glad you brought that up, he's played terrible. Austin Gale, who works for The Ringer, now put this out on Twitter. I saw it this morning. Bottom five quarterbacks in EPA per dropback on a clean dropback. No pressure. We talked about the offensive line, and this offensive line is horrific. I talked about that little combined metric I did with, you know, run blocking, pass protection. They were, I think, third from the bottom in that result. So they've been terrible. But still, bottom five quarterbacks in EPA per dropback in a clean pocket through the first 4 weeks. 32, our guy Baker Mayfield. 31, Mitchell Trubisky. 30, Davis Mills. 29, Cooper Rush. Kind of surprising. 28, Matthew Stafford. Like, this is the company Matthew Stafford is keeping in a clean pocket right now, because all he's doing is throwing a Cooper Kupp in these short areas. And look, I definitely think there's no question Allen Robinson has lost a step, but I also think it is true that the Rams are doing nothing to, like, you know, get him work. Like, he's not a downfield player at this point. And I think that was pretty obvious from last year's film. I do think he can still get open in short to intermediate areas, but you can't just throw him out there as X receiver anymore. Like, I do think that the media industry as a whole, kind of, and fantasy folks, like, yada yada the Van Jefferson injury, but Van Jefferson's a really important player for them that is a vertical threat, and they have like, Robinson's not a vertical threat at this point in his career. No. Cooper Kupp is, you know, a big slot receiver. Tyler Higbee, I mean, LOL, like, you know, Ben Skoranek is not a deep threat. So it's a problem for the LA Rams now, to the point that I think you could play. I mean, I'll go down with the ship with Allen Robinson, like, but they got to do more for him than just toss him out. Even Matthew Stafford even said himself, like, yeah, I really only throw him in like 50-50 ball situations. Like, yes, that is it. It's tough. I don't know.
Yes. It's bad right now. Like I said, how about them Cowboys? Yeah. I'm all about the Cowboys in this game. And the Cowboys side of it, it's business as usual. I mean, Cooper Rush has proven himself to be a guy that can keep that offense going. He can keep CeeDee Lamb viable. He can, I mean, everybody in that offense, except the tight end, Dalton Schultz, is just basically who they were. I mean, this is, you start them with the same amount of confidence you had if it would have been Dak Prescott. I don't think this Rams defense has really blown anybody away at this point either. So yeah, the Cowboys are almost like, it's funny. Nobody's talking about them really. They're 3-0 with Cooper. I mean, people do talk about them, but you would figure backup quarterback, Cowboys 3-0, we'd be like, oh my God. But everybody's, you know, this week it's been like, yeah, Cowboys, okay, whatever. I think people are gonna be talking about them Sunday night, because again, I got Cowboys. I think Cowboys win. I think Cowboys are, their defense is really legit, and I think they go to LA and win this game.
Yep, I'm with you, man. Oh, what a bummer about the Rams. I mean, they're everything is, that's another reason, like, I will always say to people, like, you can't come, like, you can't come in after the Vikings beat the Lions and be like, they didn't get Justin Jefferson the ball enough. I'm like, they won the game, okay? But the Rams offense stinks out loud, and like, they're not getting anything with Allen Robinson. I'm kind of like, okay, I get it. Robinson's probably a part of the problem and certainly is a declining player. Like, I think everybody would admit that. Even coming into this year, you should have admitted he's a declining player. But they got to do something else, man. Like, they got to try. They got to at least try something else, and we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens the rest of the way. All right.
By the way, we didn't even mention a running game in help.
Yeah, well, we shouldn't.
That's a yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing to mention there either. The only people who are hurting more than the Allen Robinson drafters are the Cam Akers drafters. So there is that. Oh. All right. Next game up here, we got Steelers at Bills. Bills are a heavy 14.5-point favorites. 14 points.
14. Range? Straight 14. 14 there. Straight 14.
Beautiful.
But hey, if you're giving me 14.5, I'll take the Pittsburgh Steelers. So.
Really? Oh, okay. Let's
let's jump right into it.
My thing was basically like, obviously, like, what's Kenny Pickett gonna look like? The only incompletions he threw were to didn't throw an incomplete pass, right? Because his not completed passes to his team were all completed to the other team, right? So I don't really give him, I don't really give him too much crap for those picks. Like, he's trying to make something happen down the field. Like, Chase Claypool, maybe make a play once in your life in a contested situation. George Pickens obviously looked really good. I'm telling you, I've never seen a guy run so many go routes. Like, go route. And weeks 1, 2, 3. Last week, finally,
he was just doing cardio the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, he was on the Gabe Davis plan, who I know we're going to talk about here in a second. Just the cardio plan, but he's getting his steps in out there. But they finally involved him in like some real receiver stuff last week. It looked really good, man. Yeah, so
really good.
It's a tough matchup for Kenny Pickett to make his starting debut, but I do think he is good news long term for Pickens and for Deontay Johnson as well, who has all like the underlying metrics you want from a fantasy receiver. He just needs like his quarterback play to not be the stone worst in the NFL.
I 100% agree with you, especially on Pickens. I mean, Deontay's he's going to be what he is, and he has been okay, but he gets a little bit of a bump, and Pickens gets an enormous bump. I think he's going to be a viable starter from here on out. He's just so talented that they got to know. And you could tell, and here's why I actually like the Steelers and the points. I'm not picking them to win straight up, but it's because teams rally around new quarterbacks. We see this all the time. We write off these, the quarterback's injured, their backup's going, they can't win. The reality is, in that locker room, guys say, we got to be better this week. We don't have our starter. We got to really rally around this new quarterback. And I think in this situation, it's not an injury, but I think you could tell from the frustrated quotes coming out of the Steelers, they were ready for this change. They are so sick of Trubisky just checking this thing down and just not getting anything going, that they're revitalized. They're energized.
The body language on the receivers, especially with Trubisky, but also Trubisky too. Like, at different point, I know he was like all kind of mad to be benched or whatever, which, I mean, come on, Mitch, but like, it's like the Steelers receivers knew he sucked, and he knew he sucked, like, based on their body language, the first 4 weeks.
No question. So I think you're going to get the best effort out of the Steelers. Now look, is there a chance that, you know, we're looking up 5 minutes left in the first quarter and it's like, wow, the Bills are up 24-0. I really screwed this one. Yeah, of course, the Bills can turn out anybody's lights. They're a really, really good football team. But 14, I'm taking it. I think you're going to get a really good effort out of the Steelers this week, revitalized. And the thing I want to look at in this game is, where's Gabe Davis? Like, a million people have tweeted this week about his history playing through injuries. It's not good at all. Well, he's back to full practice. Yeah. This ankle thing may be behind him. Everybody out there Gabe Davis was the most divisive dude in a preseason draft business. And, you know, first game, it's like, oh, okay, got a touchdown, look good, all that, got hurt. He's been a ghost since. I want to see in this game, can he come back? I mean, we might not see Isaiah McKenzie in this game. Dawson Knox is just, he just hasn't been a big part of the offense, blocking a lot and whatnot. I just want to see, can Gabe Davis, now that he's off the injury report, basically, can he emerge and be a good player? I don't see why not. I mean, this offense is fully capable of supporting multiple viable starting receivers. Where are you at on Gabe Davis? I assume that he's going to be better going forward than he has been the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, Dalton and I talked a lot about Gabe Davis and how his targets per route run would make even Allen Robinson blush, like, for what he's been doing out there. So I think most of this Gabe Davis slump is because of the ankle injury. I mean, he doesn't look 100% healthy. He doesn't look like he can run at full speed. You know, he looks hobbled, right? But
yeah,
I did have questions about, so I don't want this to be too much like confirmation biasy because I do think he's been injured, but I did have serious questions about like, okay, well, Gabe Davis is walking into a great role, but how good is Gabe Davis, right? Like,
yeah, I
think those questions are still outstanding, but you know, if someone is super pissed, and I know people are super pissed about Gabe Davis because of all of the preseason hype, like, and you can get him as like a throw-in piece for a trade, I don't mind that right now. Like, I think better days are 100% ahead for Gabe Davis because it can't get much worse than this. I mean, like, right. I think 9.5 targets per route run is pathetic. I mean, it's insane what Gabe Davis has been doing out there. But like, the one thing I'll say, Frank, and you know, people say like, oh, he's been a decoy. It's like, come on. No, he's not. Like, nobody's walking. He's not Julio Jones, right? Julio Jones used to do the decoy thing. Nobody's walking into the damn, like, well, you know what we got to do? We got to stop Gabe Davis, right? Like, Stephon Diggs is on the team. So, right. But I think Gabe Davis will be fine. I think I'm willing to write off most of this for injury. Now, if he comes out in this game against a pass defense that can be exploited a little bit with no TJ Watt out there and has another
that might not
game.
Have Minka Fitzpatrick either, but yes. Keep an eye on Minka Fitzpatrick because he is as important as any defensive player in the league right now.
Then I'm worried. It's also worth saying too that, you know, the Bills are not, nobody's throwing the ball down the field at the rate that we've seen the last few years. Everybody's been kind of shorter passing because of the two high shells and all that type of stuff. The Bills are not throwing the ball down the field as much, and that's what Gabe Davis is good at. Gabe Davis is not a good like short to intermediate separator. He's a great downfield route runner. So that's been just there's a lot working against Gabe Davis right now to the point that I think it'll probably get better going forward, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I hope so anyway. Not that I have a ton of them, but the ones I do have, like he's, it's like, wow, okay, I got 2 points from you, Gabe. Thanks, appreciate it.
All right, next game up, Falcons at Buccaneers. Bucks are 9.5-point favorites, 48 over under here. What do you got in this game, Frank?
I just wonder, you know, where we're going with Rashad White, because was last week just a game script thing? I mean, the Buccaneers just completely gave up the run game, right? Like they were like, we're going to run the ball literally, I think, 3 times they attempted, maybe 6.
Yeah.
It was horrific for the Buccaneers run game. So Rashad White got a lot of run, got his career high in snaps, 24, and ended up catching 5 balls, 50 yards. Looked spry, looked good. Like, and Lenny's not going anywhere, but I mean, and I'm not saying, like, look, if you're playing in a league where Rashad White is on waivers, you probably need to play in tougher leagues because he should have been on stash.
Frank,
on somebody's
bench. I think he's rostered on only 32% of Yahoo leagues right now.
A lot of bad leagues then, because he should be on everybody's roster at this point. Because if one thing happens to Lenny and he misses any games, Rashad White might be a top 12-ish running back going forward. That offense could support it. He looks the part. I thought he looked really, really good last week, other than, you know, the opening. I was actually impressed. The opening kickoff of the game, he fumbles it away. He could have gone in the tank. He's a young guy. Like, I mean, that's tough to be in that spot. He ends up playing a pretty good game. And I don't think it was just game script in that game, but I think the Buccaneers were like, you know what? We got a little something here, and he needs to get a little more playing time going forward. And especially in a game like this where, you know, they should win this game. They should be able to dictate what they want to do. It wouldn't be surprising to me at all if we see Rashad White get about the same 35-ish type percent snaps again.
I love this call, Frank. I'm 100% with you. You know, we've talked about Rashad White on like the waiver wire show in a week where, you know, Mike Boone, I hate saying that because maybe Mike Boone rushed for 3 touchdowns last night, but you know, Mike Boone got a bunch of burn on the waiver wire. You know, like Latavius Murray signs with the Broncos, be like, I gotta pick up Latavius Murray now.
And the
Falcons backs, who we'll obviously talk about here in a second, like they're getting a lot of pop on the waiver wire. I don't think any of those players are going to change your season. If Rashad White somehow became the starter, he would change your season. And I thought this was a great point from Dwayne McFarland, who works for Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life site now and does the utilization report. He used to do it for PFF. He's doing it there now. He pointed out that, like, hey, Rashad White's week 4 usage looked a lot like Tony Pollard, right? And, like, if Tony Pollard, if Rashad White becomes a Tony Pollard player for the Bucs, like, Tony Pollard's giving you some weeks in the Cooper Rush offense. If we're getting the Tony Pollard role, like, for just from a role deployment perspective, we're getting that on the Brady offense at some point. Like, well, that's not good. Number one, it's not going to be good news for Leonard Fournette. And it would be great news for Rashad White, who would give you some standalone value in addition to the great contingency.
With bye weeks coming up, Matt,
Yeah.
up, if you can, maybe maybe he's a souped up Nyheim Hines, or J.D. McKissick, where maybe he's just the pass catching guy and he gives you that PPR stuff. He looks the part, and I have not given up on the Bucs offense. I think the Bucs offense is going to be fine.
I agree.
It might not be what we thought they would be, but the Bucs offense is going to be fine, and it can, yeah, there could be some standalone value here. I absolutely agree.
Yeah, well, you know, your friends here at the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast are monitoring the Tom Brady witchcraft story, but nevertheless, I am still optimistic about the Bucs offense overall. On the Falcons side, my thing here is, can they establish it again? Like I said,
Against this defense. Probably
not, right? The Bucs right now, you know, they're not up where they usually are from a rushing success rate standpoint. But, you know, some of that can be opponents, all that type of stuff. You know, they played a great Packers run game. They've played, CEH, like, some of his fluky plays might have that, you know, influenced a little bit. But we know that this is a good defense overall. We trust this defense, despite what Kansas City did to them on Sunday night. So I'm with you that they probably can't run the piss out of the ball, even though that's what Arthur Smith wants to do, which means that if there is no Kyle Pitts, like, this could be a huge Drake London game.
Yeah.
Like, the Bucs play a lot of zone coverage. Drake London has been a big time zone beater this year. He's been a good man beater as well. He's just a damn good player.
He's a good player. Yeah. He's really good player.
So this could be like a top 10 Drake London performance. I would be trying to get him to lineups for sure.
Right. Let me ask this. In normal way, I don't like this game for the Falcons running backs at all, right? Like the matchup, the game scripted out, blah, blah, blah. In a normal matchup, normal game script type week, who do you like Algier? You think Algier could be a guy?
Know.
Like,
I
had him stashed a few spots, and I like him as a player. I do. I just don't know how often they're going to be in this. We have a good game script. We have a good matchup, and Algier gets 23 carries. I don't know how often that's going to happen before CPAT comes back.
And he was the passing down back with Tyler Algier. So that's worth noting that from a routes run perspective, he was the guy who was out there on passing downs ahead of Caleb Huntley. But I think Huntley ran well. I think he was, you know, obviously he got the goal line look. I also think, Frank, that like this video I keep talking about where Arthur Smith said he was going to run the piss out of the ball, I quote tweeted, like, you know, Caleb Huntley ran his first NFL touchdown and Arthur Smith went up to him and was like, "Did you get the ball?" He's like, "I don't care about the ball." And I was like, "Oh, Arthur Smith is going to love that, right?" Like, Caleb Huntley's going to get some burn for that. But yeah, so I don't know. Right. I think it could just be a committee between these two guys, and neither one really pops from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah,
but
yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it could be a little closer to even than we think. But I do, you know, Algier's fine, and Huntley might be interesting as well. So,
gotcha.
Yeah. Interesting matchup here in the NFC South. All right. Mm-hmm. Frank and I are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll break down the rest of the Week 5 games.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, Frank, we're back here in the NFC North. Bears at Vikings. Vikings are 7.5-point favorites. Over-under is 44. The Bears, dude. I mean, my God.
The best stat of the NFL season by far is that Cooper Kupp has more receptions than Justin Fields has completions. That's all you need to know about the Bears right now.
I did not.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look, go look at it. It's legitimately the best stat of the NFL season. It's incredible.
Dude. We talked about Allen Robinson earlier, and my big axe to grind with people in the offseason, and now it's like, who cares? Because we both look like idiots. It's like people that were in the bag for Justin Fields, like, were too hard on Allen Robinson last year, being like, "Oh, he let down Fields." It's like, Robinson ain't doing much without Fields, and Fields ain't doing much without Robinson. They're holding him back or whatever. So this is one of those arguments where it's like, but everybody loses, right? The only thing we care about in the Bears is Khalil Herbert. Is this gonna be a big game for him? I think he's a starter. Like, if he's the guy out there,
yeah. If you're starting dudes over Khalil Herbert when he's the guy, good for you because you had a heck of a draft.
Yeah,
Khalil Herbert to me is a easy play anytime Montgomery's out. And I guess, do we know for sure? I haven't seen the latest on Montgomery. Is he definitely out? Yeah. So I mean, that's
Scott and I will recap. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. And I look forward to that. Because if Montgomery's out, Khalil Herbert, if he's on the bench in your league, you got a heck of a team. You're winning a championship.
Shout out to you.
Don't worry about it. Yeah. And if Montgomery's back, I think Khalil Herbert is a fine flex. He's a fine running back too in some leagues. So with some of my teams, I ain't got a lot of running backs right now who are very viable. So yeah, Khalil Herbert is just a fantastic player. And yeah, there are very few leagues where I wouldn't be starting him, even if David Montgomery's back.
On the Viking side, this team feels one of the cleanest cut teams, right? Me in fantasy right now.
Yeah. This is again selfish. When I come on, a lot of these axes I grind are just my teams, right? I don't want to talk about my fantasy teams, so I like trick it up by saying, let's complain about Kyle Pitts. Yeah, sure. There's a reason for that. Can we never go another game with Justin Jefferson having a 3-for-14 ever? Yeah. Like, they have to know. Kevin O'Connell has to know, wow, we screwed up. Like, yeah, we won. And thankfully, they pulled it out at the end against
Squeaked
the Lions.
Squeaked it out against the damn Lions, right, yeah.
But there should never be another game in which Justin Jefferson does not have double-digit targets. Like, off the that Big Denny's menu that Kevin O'Connell has in front of him, it should be like, here's the section for Justin Jefferson. We're checking these off 10 times until we go on to the rest. Like, I mean, it just can't happen again. But I thought last week, he cooked Lattimore. I was a little worried about that. I really was. We talked last week about how I really like KJ Osborne because I was like, Lattimore, you know, I mean, Justin Jefferson's not going to be this. He's not going to go for 10 and 140 set. Well, yeah, he did. He went against Lattimore.
he certainly did.
Fantastic. And if the light's not on in Minnesota and he has another 3-for-14 game, I'm flying out to the Twin Cities and I'm going to correct this thing because that can never happen again.
Yeah, and I feel like Dalvin Cook's the other guy in this offense that it just hasn't been there yet and
it will. He's too good for you're right
yeah, there's a lot, frankly, like most fantasy backs early or like RB1 guys are they're all right, but it hasn't been great so far. So I saw a piece that the Ringer put out about this, a lot of Ringer pop in this show, but they put out about this, I meant to read that, like why fantasy running backs are disappointing. I meant to read it before the show, but you know what, Frank, I didn't. So there's that on that. Lord Podcast, let
do
me
your
know.
You didn't ever did your homework, did you?
No. Like, oh yeah, no, I know. I just wake up I wake up at 11 a.m. when we tape this, and I just roll right in. So that's it. Last thing here. Lord Podcast, let me know, sent me a tweet here that David Montgomery at 11:30 Pacific is on the field as Bears practice gets underway. So again, Scott and I will talk more about that on the live stream tomorrow. Make sure you tune in 3 p.m. Eastern on Friday. All right. Titans -2 at Commanders, 42.5. I kind of like Washington's passing game here, Frank. And I know that feels gross to
that
say.
That's surprised. I was interested when I saw that. I want to hear you. Go for it. I want to hear this because boy, it's so tough to trust any of these guys, much less Carson Wentz. I mean, and I got a lot of McLaurin. I love McLaurin.
Yeah.
Can you trust? Who do I trust here? And why do you like this Washington pass game? I'm listening. I'm all ears.
Well, I think we know at this point you can't play Carson Wentz when they go against like a good set of edge rushers, right? Because he is just going to go in the absolute, tank, right?
Yeah.
We know that at this point. The Titans are not that team, right? They lost Harold Landry coming into this year. They don't have a great set of edge rushers. I feel like that's good for Wentz. And, you know, the Titans secondary can certainly be beat up on, right? We've seen teams get over on them.
Sure.
Mack Hollins. The great Mack Hollins had an eruption spot against the Titans. And obviously, that was a week after, Steph Diggs, who, Steph Diggs can dog walk anybody, but he dog walked a lot of these Titans corners all over the place. So, feel good about. I actually feel like this is a good spot for Terry McLaurin with Jahan Dotson probably going to miss this game, maybe next week's game. It's weird that their roles were kind of almost completely overlapped. Like I talked about this with Dalton, that they have run 50 go routes so far this year. They've each run 50 go routes. Jahan Dotson, Terry McLaurin. The only other guys that are more than that are like Jamar Chase, the great Mack Hollins again, and Marquise Brown. Crazy stuff I think. And I like Scott Turner as a play caller, but I think we've got to see some molding of Terry's role and Curtis Samuel's role, because McLaurin is too good to just be a deep threat. And Samuel is too good and the targets are too worthless to just be 3 yards down the field. So it's risky, but I do think this is a good setup for Washington's pass catchers.
Interesting. Interesting. I will. I'll keep that in mind when I'm watching Terry McLaurin run go routes and get me no points on Sunday.
Yeah, I was gonna say. So
I'll text
basically,
you. Text you.
Frank doesn't agree with me.
I don't know. I just it's hard to trust that offense. It's just Carson Wentz. He's just not good. He's just not a good quarterback anymore. But like we saw, you know, first 2 weeks especially, he could put up numbers in the right situation. So I that's a great point. This is not the type of Titans defense that's just going to choke you out. You'll be able to get some points on them. So I'll start Terry. And then again, I have now somebody to scapegoat and complain to on Sunday night if it doesn't work.
Please
the,
do.
The only thing I wanted to...
would not be the first person to complain to me about Terry McLaurin and Curtis Samuel. Let me tell you that. Join the line, pal.
Yeah, right. Right. Take a number. The thing in this game that intrigues me most, look... I was a guy fading the heck out of Derrick Henry draft season. Did not want any part of him coming off the injury and this workload. And through 2 weeks, I was patting myself on the back. You know, he had the 25 yards against the Bills. I'm like, wow, Derrick Henry's not going to be that dude. Well, it turns out Derrick Henry's still that dude, shockingly enough. I think he has 199 rushing the past couple of weeks. And bigger than that, 8 catches. Like, that turns him into a – he goes from being – a very good running back to being a top 3 running back if he's going to even catch a few balls every week. And there's no reason he can't do it against Washington. I can't imagine a scenario where he's kind of game scripted out. I can't imagine a scenario where Washington really holds him down. Derrick Henry's kind of good to go the rest of the season. I mean, none of those AFC South teams are really going to stop him that much. Derrick Henry's just a freak. He's just unlike anybody else, and shame on me for doubting him pre-draft season, and I'm going to be paying for it in his matchups coming up.
Yeah, I think I told the story on the podcast already, but you know, when I first met Derrick Henry years ago, when the draft was in Nashville, actually, I remember saying to him, because he's such a nice guy, I felt like I could say this to him, I was like, you need to go to your coaching staff and tell him to throw you a freaking screen pass, right? Like a
dude,
dump
why,
off.
Why wouldn't
flat.
You want to get that guy in space?
He's not Alvin Kamara or Christian McCaffrey running routes down the field. Never gonna do that. But he's a big boy out there, you know, in the open space. Like the whole thesis of the Derrick Henry thing is like in the open field, he's bigger than everybody else. Like, and he's tough to bring down. Yeah, you know, that can be true in the pass game too. And the results the last 2 weeks have been fantastic. Not only does he have 8 catches, like you said, he's averaging over 11 yards per catch in those 2 weeks
unbelievable.
Too. Like,
yeah, why can't they figure this out?
It seems like they're there, which is a good thing. Let's keep seeing that, because obviously without Treylon Burks, who, you know, was a developmental player right now, they're hurting for juice in the pass game. So just more Derrick Henry in the receiving game is good for everybody involved.
Absolutely.
Staying in the AFC South here, Texans at Jaguars. Jaguars are a 7-point favorite. Frank, another exciting running back on the Texans side in this game.
Man, Damian Pierce, I like, because week one, I'm like, Rex Burkhead, really? That's what we're going to do here, Lovey. That's what we're going to. We look back on that game that they should have won. And them trying to run out the clock with Rex Burkhead between the tackles is going to be one of the strangest coaching decisions of the entire season. But give him credit. They said, boy, we're not going to do that again. Damian Pierce, how many carries do you want this season, son? Because you're going to get as many as you want. And he just looks good. He is a fun player to watch. I like watching him. I have some Rookie of the Year tickets on him that are not dead yet.
Yeah, those are live. Those are for sure.
Yeah, I just think Damian Pierce is one of those guys who, again, I'll repeat the line I said. If you're not starting Damian Pierce, I want to see your roster, because you got a pretty good team. Because I think he's a clear, easy start every week from here on out. This Jaguars matchup isn't great. I think the Jaguars have a pretty good defense, but I can't imagine sitting Damian Pierce in too many leagues. He's going to be really good. He's going to rush for 1,000 yards this year. Going to be in the Rookie of the Year race. Really like him as a player. He's just one of those guys fun to watch.
Yeah, 20 touches, 131 total yards in week 4, and actually, most importantly, out-targeted and ran more routes than Rex Burkhead. It's wheels up, I think, for Damian Pierce.
He is good to go, and they didn't take him long to figure out, we got something here. We're going to feed this guy.
And I think it's wheels back up for the Jags too, man. Like, that was a weird game. The Eagles have a great defense. Trevor Lawrence had like a fumbling problem in the weather. So
he's never played in weather. He's never played in weather before.
Yeah. I mean, look at that hair. You think that's a guy who's ready to play in weather? I don't think so.
Yeah. Don't talk to me about hair, man. I got nothing to say.
I mean, dude, right back at you, pal. So I'm my clock is ticking. That's for sure. But go. anyways, yeah. We're back. Just you play Christian Kirk like you were before this game. You play James Robinson, I think, like you were in this game. James Robinson definitely like a guy that we got to be worried about game script, I think, going forward. But this is not.
Do you worry about James Robinson going forward? Because he's basically had a few big runs and not much else. And he wasn't Achilles guy, and he was a guy who's fading. And maybe I'm trying to talk myself into, hey, you didn't screw this up. You're actually right. Is James Robinson going to be good the rest of the season, or is just those few runs? And two, is Travis Etienne going to get off the milk carton at any point? Because Travis Etienne is like a low-level J.D. McKissick right now.
Oh, God.
He is. That's all he is.
Urban Meyer just had a shiver go down his spine somewhere. If he remembers who Travis Etienne is, probably does.
He just catches a few passes, and he's not any part of their game plan. And he's just a guy who I was drafted like fourth round or third round or whatever. And I'm just like, I can't start this guy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't start J.D. McKissick. I'm not going to start at Travis Etienne.
Yeah. I didn't draft much of Travis Etienne, but if I did, I would not feel great about it. But to your point though, yeah, James Robinson, I could see him being a guy that slows down at some point. So if you want to sell him high, I have a James Robinson on a couple of rosters. I might think about that. This is not the week to do it. I'd let him have a big week against the Texans here, and then that's probably what's going to happen. But I could see. Let's revisit that in a few weeks, because I think you might be onto something there.
And one last quick thing about the Jaguars before we move on. I'd never thought I'd have been saying this during the 2022 NFL season, but Zay Jones is a big deal for the Jaguars.
They legitimately missed him.
And I think when he comes back this week, if you're in a deeper league and you got Zay Jones on your bench, put him in. I'm putting him in a few spots because I think he's going to have a pretty darn good season for them.
Yeah. I mean, he's better than Marvin Jones out there. Talk about the cardio. Well, I mean, Marvin Jones actually gets looks, but they don't really go anywhere. all right, Giants at Packers. Packers are big favorites here. This is a London game, right?
Yep, London, early in the morning. I'll be up for it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Everybody out there, you know my deal with this. No excuses.
Don't sleep in and have Alan Kamara on your starting lineup.
Nope. No excuses. Don't be going out and getting hammered the night before. Better get your ass up early in the morning and make sure your fantasy lineups are set. All right, we're here to compete. Okay, we're here to win. Let's be serious about this whole thing. Step up to the plate, folks. All right, with that being said, I mean, I don't know you got to wake up to start any Giants, though, Frank. Saquon Barkley, put him in your lineup, and I don't think you got to worry about anything else with New York. I mean, we might not even get Danny Dimes in this damn game, okay? He's or at least he's pretty questionable, so there is that.
Yeah, and I guess he's been at practice. He's probably going to play, but my question is, Is any running threat in this game? If you're banged up, you're not running much. And as weird as it is, and people have repeated this often, a big part of Daniel Jones' game is running the ball. He can help move the offense that way, but you're not doing it on a gimpy ankle. And especially this Packers defense, pretty darn good. The Giants have no interest for me whatsoever outside of, yes, you have to start Saquon, you start nobody else. I don't even think in a two-quarterback league you want to start Daniel Jones in this game because I don't think he's going to be running it. I'll still take the Giants +8, by the way, because I think it's too many points. But, yeah, Giants are just a fantasy wasteland outside of the great Saquon Barkley right now.
I mean, I don't even know how the Giants score 8 points, Frank. Nevertheless,
that's going to be tough.
Their run defense is still a big problem. 32nd in rushing success rate, and obviously they're going against Saquon. That's going to be a problem. On the Packers side, Frank, I feel like Romeo Doubs and Alan Lazard have kind of closed the gap here. Lazard has been very efficient. He's like top five in first downs per target so far this year. Like we can debate how good of a player Alan Lazard is, but Rodgers likes him. He's got great hands and he wins with size. Like, I think Lazard is a guy you're probably thinking about as a flex player for sure in this matchup. And Doubs as well. Like, Doubs is in the circle of trust despite his big touchdown whiff. Like, I think these guys are pretty secure at this point as the number one and number two receivers here.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. And more so going forward, I think you're going to be really happy to have Romeo Doubs on your team. Like, I think his role is just going to continue to grow and grow and grow because he's just a better player than Alan Lazard.
I agree.
I think Alan Lazard is going to be fine all year. I think this Packers passing game is actually going to continue to grow. And the Packers are going to be one of those teams that what they look like in September really doesn't resemble what they look like in November and December. They're going to be spreading it around a lot more. Robert Tonyan looks healthy. I think they're going to have some pop in the passing game, some consistency in the passing game. They've hit some big plays, but some consistency in the passing game to go with the run game, to go with the defense. I think the Packers are going to continue to grow, and I think Romeo Doubs is going to be a huge part of that.
Next game up here, Dolphins -3 at the Jets. You know, the Jets are, we actually both have Teddy notes here for our things. You know, the Jets are the Jets, right? We'll see where Zach Wilson is. Like, I'm not feeling 100% confident about starting any of these receivers. I think you could tell a story there. And Breece Hall, like, I do want to see Breece Hall's role continue to grow. I mean, just absurd, like, air yards per target number for a damn running back right now. Crazy stuff that he's doing. I want to see him continue to get more burn. But let's talk about Teddy, man. I mean, I think we're pretty much on the same page about Teddy with these receivers, I think.
I think so. I think that, look, this is one of the reasons Tua shouldn't have played last week is because Teddy's good. Teddy's a pretty good quarterback. And I think the Dolphins play really, really well around him. You know, we spoke before about Pickett and how teams rally around a backup quarterback a lot of times. I think they rally around this guy. Teddy's one of the most likable guys in the league. I think that team plays really hard. And he looked fine against the Bengals. He played really well. He just had the one miscommunication with Gesicki that resulted in the interception, or they were a real threat to win that game. The one thing I do wonder about, he had a great downfield pass to Tyreek on Thursday night. He's never been a downfield passer. That's just not part of his game. So are we going to be able to see that from the Dolphins offense? Are we going to see the long bombs to Tyreek, even to Waddle here and there? Probably not. They're going to have to kind of live off Yak a little bit until Tua gets back. But I think overall, as a team, as an offense, the Dolphins are going to be just fine because Teddy's probably the best backup in the NFL.
Yeah, 100%. I think he's the best backup in the NFL and, you know, probably like fringe starter level. I mean, you can get away with starting Teddy for sure. And I think their usage could look a lot like week one with Tua, because, like, kind of despite the fact that Baltimore game happened, like, the Dolphins haven't been great at pushing it down the field. You know, obviously, Tua, with the injury stuff, it's kind of hard to say. But, you know, week one, we saw 12 targets, 8 catches for 94 yards with Tyreek Hill. Jalen Waddle, 4 for 69. And Waddle was averaging 7.5 yards after the catch per reception. So he was getting it done with a lot of yak. Like you said, I think that's sort of the expectations to have for these receivers in this matchup. Let's move on to Lions at Patriots. I mean, are we going to see Bailey Zappe going against this terrible Lions
yes,
defense?
Yes. And what do you expect? I mean, it's kind of the opposite of the immovable force, irresistible object, right? Like, what happens when Bailey Zappe goes against the worst defense of football? Like, does he move the ball? Are any of these guys viable? Is it the same conservative play calling? I don't expect too much. I wouldn't be starting any New England. Like, that's been the joke, right? If you have any fantasy players against the Lions, you're the third base coach wheeling them in, right? Like, get them in the lineup. I'm not sure about this week with the Patriots. I think we know what to expect. I think the Lions are going to be just fine. I think they're going to be really good. But the Patriots, what do you think of the Patriots? Like, are you feel good about any of their receivers? Probably not. I mean, I guess you probably have to play Ramondre where you would anyway. I don't know.
You know what I think, Frank? I think we're going to see the ball in the belly of Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson an awful lot in this game.
Yeah, yeah.
And Harris.
But, like, if you're one-dimensional like that, I mean, even a bad defense should be able to stop a one-dimensional offense with Bailey Zappe a quarter. If they put up 500 yards on, then fire Aaron Glenn on Sunday night. It's a really interesting matchup that way, though, fantasy-wise.
Yeah, I don't know if I've got the stones to start, like,
Would you start Bailey Zappe in DFS? Like, I'm serious. No, like, no, would you? No, like, no, I don't no, think no. so. No, I don't. No. Yeah.
I don't think he looked good at all against the Packers.
No, I don't.
I know they kept that game close, but I didn't come out there feeling like, okay, this guy's interesting. I mean, he literally looks like a Madden created character. Like, he has the most plain face of any person I've ever seen. It was incredible, which, you know, it just says nothing about his play, but still, like, yeah, I think Ramondre Stevenson, great game script. Damian Harris just gets disrespected all the time because people love Ramondre Stevenson so much, but, like, right. Damian Harris is good, and, like, he gets it done for his team. Yeah, he's solid. Yeah. So, feel like those guys you could start. I don't know that I've got the stones to start. And as much as I love Jacoby Myers, if he plays in this game, I don't even know if I could play him. Maybe, though. And Devontae Parker, like, let me tell you what, you're either going to get, you know, 85 yards and a touch, or you're going to get
eight donut.
I was going to say maybe 8 yards, but that's where we're at.
You're kind man.
I'm a kind guy. Yeah. Lions, and then on their side, like, the barnstorm should just continue, man. Right. I mean,
yeah,
even if
there's
this
no
a pretty
reason.
Good defense,
I mean, you start all your Lions with confidence right now. I mean, it doesn't look like Amon-Ra's going to answer the bell this week again.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be late, but he's missed Wednesday and Thursday now. So I don't assume that he's going to play, but Josh Reynolds, why not? Like, yeah. Let's go. Like, I mean, TJ Hockenson, he returned to practice. He should be fine. I just think this Lions offense is going to continue to roll all season. They got some really, and especially when Amon-Ra is healthy, when Swift is healthy, and when Jameson Williams is back, this is going to be a really, really fun offense to watch.
It really, really is. I can't wait to see Jameson Williams in this offense. All right, Frank, last game before we move to the primetime ones. 49ers, 6.5-point favorites in Carolina. We, by the way, for people out there, you know, like I said, with the co-host on this show, they always give one note. I give one note. I got in the dock first. For my note, I wrote, Baker is toast. And Frank just followed up with, Baker is so toast. So, I mean,
so bad.
Best defense
so
in the NFL going against the stone worst by any measure quarterback in the NFL in Baker Mayfield. I cannot paint an optimistic picture in this one.
Okay, let's. By the way, I think San Francisco has the best defense in the league.
If they could
completely choke out Matt Stafford, Sean McVay, that offense, what are they going to do to Baker Mayfield and Matt Rhule? Come on,
put him in the blender. Dude.
So let me ask you. I think this is a legit. What do you expect? You can't bench him. What do you expect out of McCaffrey this week? They're not. I don't think they score a touchdown this week. Maybe they do. Maybe. I mean, it's kind of weird to say an NFL team's definitely not scoring a touchdown. But how are they going to get in the end zone against this 49ers defense? What could you realistically expect from Christian McCaffrey in this game? Again, you can't bench him, but
right.
I'm not starting with much confidence. I'm like, oh, I got to. There's no other option.
You kind of have to hope for the same thing last week, which I know a lot of folks left that Week 4 game feeling like, okay, look at the receiving usage for McCaffrey. That's great. I'm like, yeah, but four of those targets, four of those catches, and 56 yards came in the fourth quarter. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I think they might be in a similar situation. They were in that situation against the Arizona Cardinals, who didn't even play well in that game. Okay. And they still were in that situation where they had to, you know, try to claw their way back in the fourth quarter. I think that's what you kind of have to hope for, is if Baker's just checking it down to McCaffrey over and over and over again. Yikes.
Yeah, it would be like, and it'd be one of those lines of like, 8 catches, 41 yards. Like, it's not, which there's just no possible hope. Like, and you're just praying for some garbage touchdown, like long after the game has been decided. I have no confidence. It wouldn't surprise me if Baker throws for like 103 yards. Like, that's partially because I think San Francisco defense is amazing, and partially just because Baker is just, he's just lost it. And maybe there's plenty of quarterbacks to the Matt Rhule era who have not played well. Maybe he's the problem here, but regardless, that passing offense is no chance you could start DJ Moore this week, right? Like, no chance you could.
Oh, no.
Definitely not talk about Robbie. Like, there's no part of this Panthers offense you could start except McCaffrey, and you're kind of just begrudgingly doing it because he was your first round pick. And there's no way you can bench a Christian McCaffrey.
No. Anything on the 49ers side? I mean, Jeff Wilson looks good.
Not really. Yeah, Jeff Wilson's
Debo's
great.
Debo.
I wish, you know, if we would have had a crystal ball and said, you know what, Jimmy Garoppolo's going to start 15 games this year, Debo might have been a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, it's we didn't know time. How Trey was going to mesh. We knew there was some regression coming with Debo, but the regression police got to him a little bit too much. He's just a great
And that Elijah player. Mitchell was going to... was gonna miss for you know who knows when he's gonna come back. He's on IR, right?
So let me ask you one more question, because it's another selfish question by me. George Kittle, tight end going forward this season, George Kittle top 10, I guess, just because there's not 10 good tight ends.
I know I am at 9 the rest of the season, ahead of like David Njoku and Gerald Everett, and I'm not convinced that by the end of the week I don't flip those. Like, because the opportunity's there for those guys.
Kittle was a luxury tight end, and I mean, I didn't proactively draft him very many places, but I got a couple. Yeah. And I'm like, this is, can I get David Njoku back? Because he's probably a better option at this point.
And I mean, I think Kittle is a stud.
Great player. But he's just not what they're wanting to do right now. It's Samuel first, Ayuk second, run the ball third, and Kittle, if we got enough to go around. He hasn't been blocking as much as has been said, and people have pointed that out, and you know, helping Trent Williams. But he is running a lot of kind of low-level routes where he's chipping and then going. He's just not a priority for them right now, and I don't know how that changes.
I don't either, because I think the reality is, like, not only is he, you know, third in the pecking order, I think you could argue that, like, Debo Samuel definitely at this point better player than George Kittle. I think you could argue Brandon Ayuk is better player than George Kittle, as good as George Kittle is. It's like it's just one of those things where like the kid who doesn't know how to drive is like driving a Ferrari right now, you know, like, and they're driving it around the damn block, you know, like that's how good these pass catchers are. Jimmy's just Jimmy, man. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the primetime games here. Bengals at Ravens. Ravens 3-point favorites, 48.5 over under. My thing for this game is Jamar Chase usage, man. I mentioned the go route stat earlier for him. People were coming out of that Miami game like, what's wrong with Jamar Chase? What's wrong with Jamar Chase? I'm like, he's on the George Pickens plan, dude. He's getting his steps in. He is running so many go routes. And, you know, at some point, the Bengals have to adjust that because he's too easy to defend in that way. And you know, it's hard because they have T. Higgins. He's a great player. Tyler Boyd's a good player. But, you know, even Jamar Chase came out and said this week, like, I'm really frustrated with, you know, he's not like a diva.
He did.
Guy,
he said he's frustrated. Squeaky wheel game then.
Yes.
He said he's a squeaky wheel game. Okay. Yeah. He's going to, Jamar Chase, get him in your lineup because it's tried and true that if a receiver complains about not getting the ball enough, he's bound to get 10 catches.
He's frustrated with the targets. He said he's frustrated with the way teams are covering him, which, like, that's not going to change. So it's on the Bengals to manufacture ways to get him the ball, to keep him involved, and they will, right? We saw them do that last year at the end of the season and in the playoffs.
Yeah, I tried to throw out a few Jamar Chase trades this week. Unsuccessful, by the way. I wasn't totally lowballing, but nobody's giving up on Jamar Chase. Rightfully so. I think he's one of the elite talents in the NFL, and it has been weird that he hasn't done more. And like you said, he's just getting his steps in out there. I love that line. And but it's going to change, and it's probably going to change this week against a Ravens secondary that has not been good all season. They're getting healthier, but it's still, I don't think, a great secondary. I think Jamar Chase is going to absolutely eat this week. He'll be just fine. The one thing I looked at from the other side in this game is just J.K. Dobbins. And I know he didn't have an unbelievable game here, but it increased from 7 carries to 13. His snaps went up from 27 to 35. He was involved in a receiving game. And I think as they get more confidence that he's healthy, he becomes what we thought he was going to be in a Ravens rushing offense that has always manufactured a good running back. Like, it's when you're beside Lamar Jackson and a lot of this read option stuff, you are going to have lanes to run in. And I think J.K. Dobbins is going to be really good this year. I do. I just think it took some time. They needed to know that, okay, he's healthy. He can be effective. The next thing is him being efficient, being better than just getting, you know, 3.2 yards per carry like he did last week. But I think it's coming. I think that now, especially not playing the Buffalo Bills defense,
that'll help.
I think J.K. Dobbins J.K. Dobbins has a bit of a breakout this week.
71.5 receiving yards is the prop for Jamar Chase.
Oh,
give me the over.
Punch that all day. I think he's gonna. The Bengals are one of those offenses. It just seems like, okay, last week it was T. Higgins. We'll get you yours this week. Next week we'll go back to T. I mean, it's gonna be a little. I mean, look, it's hard for an NFL team to put up 200 yard receivers every week. It's almost impossible. So it's going to be one of those where, you know, each week is going to be a little different. But now it's been a few weeks for Jamar Chase. He hasn't had a huge game. I think he does have a huge game this week.
Yeah, just keep an eye on Rashad Bateman, who has a midfoot sprain, and
that's
They've called him day to day, but you know, some injury experts think it's going to be a bigger deal than that. But we'll see. He's obviously the most important receiver on that.
Yeah, it means Mark Andrews goes from like 17 targets to like 22 targets, right? Like, I mean, how much more can he handle?
I know, but he
still gets open every time.
He's so good.
So good.
All right, last game up here, Raiders at Chiefs. Chiefs are 7-point favorites, 51 over under. What do you got on this game, Frank?
I just need to ask you a very easy question. Well, not an easy question, but it's a simple question. Does Darren Waller stink? Like, is he just a guy? Like, did we completely overrate him? Because now we're going on kind of year two of him being a huge disappointment. The last 2 weeks, 6 catches for 46 yards? Really? Like, this is not looking good for Darren Waller. There's more target competition for him. Josh Jacobs is still a factor in that offense. I just don't know if I trust Darren Waller going forward at all. I mean, he doesn't stink. I was being funny with that. He's a good player, but I just don't think I just think we've all overrated him based on what happened a couple of years ago. And at age 30, I just don't think it's coming back.
I think that's a fair point. You know, he's only run a route on 79.5% of the team dropbacks. You know, he's third on the team in air yards. This is, again, I'm going to be freaking talking about Mac Hollins again, bro. Like, I mean, Mac Hollins, 24.5% share of the air yards. Darren Waller, 22.9%. Like, Darren Waller should be eating with Hunter Renfrow out there, and he's not.
Right.
That's the troubling
thing, is that there's no Renfrow, but yet Darren Waller is still just kind of He's not a big deal. And I just super concerned. Again, new coaching staff, he's 30. Last 15 games have been just kind of, okay, he's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with Darren Waller as a football player, but you drafted him to be this kind of name brand tight end, and he's just really, really leaving you cold in that way.
Yeah, like, he just falls in that mix with guys like Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz, you know, right. Dalton Schultz, and he wasn't supposed to be that, but he is. But that is what he is at this point. Tight end is
like, would you rather, like, rest of the season, would you rather have Zach Ertz or Darren Waller? I might take Ertz. I really might, because I know they're going to use him. I know they're going to throw him the ball. I know he can do stuff with it. I just don't know what Darren Waller's ceiling is anymore, and it's definitely not where you drafted him in the probably fifth round. I mean, I just don't think he's that guy.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think you're right about that. My thing for the Chiefs here is just like any further clarity with the skill positions, right? Because Pacheco got in there, looked pretty good, right? He looked good, you know?
Oh, it looked really good. Yeah.
Does he take away from CEH at all? Because CEH really can't afford to lose any work because he's just kind of living on touchdowns, right? So there is that. And just the receivers too. Like, this would theoretically be a good spot to throw the receivers out, but does anybody have any I think that, you know, Juju is like a wide receiver three that doesn't make or break you pretty much at this point. And MVS, you know, we know who MVS is. So I want to see if Sky Moore gets a little more playing time.
That's what I was going to bring up that name to you, because he's the one guy who might be out there. Maybe somebody got impatient. Maybe somebody dropped him. I picked him up in the league this week thinking it might take a while, but at some point, obviously their offense is doing pretty well, but at some point I think they're going to look and say, we're not getting a lot out of this receiver group. We have the second round pick. We know he's got some juice.
Let's see what
Sky Moore has. Let's bump up his. Let's just see what he's got. And I think he's going to respond well to that. And I think he ends up being like at least a viable guy with maybe a little more than that. We see this is the year of the rookie receiver again. Why can't Sky Moore be a factor in the second half and do the Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's going to get, by the way, that's going to be the template, right? Every rookie receiver is going to be like, well, maybe he'll pull Amon-Ra St. Brown and be great. It's pretty rare, but I can see it with Sky if the opportunity presents itself, because he plays with Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes is a god. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like Sky Moore as a player too. So a lot to keep in mind there, but we kind of know the deal with both of these teams. All right. That's going to do it for us before we take off. You heard us talk about DFS earlier in the show. If you're not already playing Daily Fantasy on Yahoo, now is the time to start. To get started, go to yahoo.com/dailyfantasy and use promo code HARMAN15, or just click the link in the episode description, then use the code HARMAN15 on your first deposit of $5 or more, and Yahoo will give you an extra $15 in site credit. Again, the code is HARMON15 to get your first deposit bonus. The code is active until October 9th, so you're running out of time here, people, and cannot be combined with other bonuses. Rewards program terms apply. Frank, tell the people where they can listen to you and Charles recap all the Sunday action.
Yep, our Sunday Night Freestyle. It's one of my favorite hours of the week. Me and Charles get together talking through every single game. It's on UPod to win the game, usually up on Monday morning for your Monday morning commute. Man, the NFL always gives us something to talk about, doesn't it?
100%. It's a great show. I would recommend everybody listen to that. And of course, as always, you can listen to me and Scott Pianowski on Monday morning with a recap of the games as well. Until then, we're out.